Welcome to the Mill Creek View, Tennessee podcast with your host, Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners.
Hello, Mill Creek podcast listeners. I have another great show for you today. Two out of three this week. Come on, man. I have a day job. Kidding. I love it. For more information about the Mill Creek View podcast, make sure to visit us at Spotify or iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcast and subscribe so you won't miss a single episode. And thank you. It really helps me move up the charts and I keep it free for you. Yes, I'm talking to you. Welcome to our People in the News segment where I interview people who are making an impact and are lovers of truth. This week, we are talking with Pastor John Emanchukwu. Emanchukwu means I know God. We better listen. Before I do the introduction, Pastor, did I say that right?
Yes, you did a great job. Emanchukwu.
Emanchukwu. Okay. With a name like Abramowitz, you know, we never know until we try. Pastor John Emanchukwu Sr. is a graduate of North Carolina State University, where he played football under Coach Chuck Amato. John received a master's degree from Liberty University in Christian ministry. He has been a youth and college pastor for 15 years and married to wife Crystal for 14. They have three children, John Patrick, Pamela Jewel, beautiful, and John Jr., a.k.a. Spider-Man. We'll ask about that in a minute. Emanchukwu means I know God. John has led a 40-week prayer walk for love life at one of the busiest abortion clinics in the Southeast. He has written this great book, Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion, that we get to talk to him about today, and much more. Let's see. Tucked in the Old Testament book of Isaiah is a warning meant for ancient Judah, but it might as well have been written for 21st century America. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. Isaiah 5:20. Pastor Emanchukwu, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on your show. What a blessing it is to be able to share my new book, Erased, Uncovering the Lies of Critical Race Theory and Abortion. It's a book that everyone needs. I'm telling everyone around the nation to purchase this book before you vote. You don't want to cast your vote until you read this book. If you know someone who's a little bit, you know, cloudy on the issue of life and or critical race theory, and, you know, maybe they have begun to, you know, drink the woke Kool-Aid, and they're starting to put wokeism before God's truth, they need a copy of this book so they can have a clear understanding of what the Bible says and how we should consider these issues in the public square.
That's right. And I bought it and I read it. I have it right here. I have a copy. So I'm telling the truth. It's dog-eared and everything. So you're right. A lot of information before the election. I'm glad to have you on beforehand. I just want to ask you some questions because there is a historical component to this book. So even though we have a constitution in the United States that was ratified in 1788, for years I've contended that the 1965 Civil Rights Act, signed by Lyndon Baines Johnson after Kennedy's death, became the new constitution for those on the left that came from the 60s radical Communist Party USA funded anti-Vietnam War hippie movement. Those are the people in power today, from Nancy Pelosi and John Kerry to Bill and Hillary Clinton. This includes the Equal Rights Amendment and Roe versus Wade. Do you agree with me that the Civil Rights Act is their new constitution and they hate the 1786 one, that the Equal Rights Amendment and war on Title IX in their neo Bill of Rights?
I believe that there's truth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I believe that there's truth to that. The reality is there are people in this country who want to push cultural Marxism in every square and in every place in America. There's an intentional plan to overthrow our Constitution, our liberties, and our rights. You know, there are 15 million unregistered Christians in America that haven't registered to vote. And you have to ask yourself why. Well, personally, it's because Christian pastors are failing to do their job. They're telling their congregation that there's no need for them to vote. And the only thing that they should focus on is what's going on in the four walls of the church. And that has led us down a slippery slope to the point where the government is starting to encroach upon the church. And the government is abusing their power. We saw this in 2020 through the COVID-19 shutdown, where we thought, you know, that what happens in government remains in government and the government, you know, will not encroach upon the church. But we found out quickly that the government didn't simply come to our doorsteps. They came to our pulpit. And they told us what we could do and what we couldn't do, how many people could assemble. It told us whether we, what distance we had to be in the church, how many people could come in, all of these things. And we subjected our authority to the state, and the state and the federal government took too much power from the church. You know, there are people who talk about a separation of church and state, and that's not true. The intent of that was to keep the state from encroaching upon the church. And what we see today is that the state constantly is moving its tentacles into the church and giving us the structure by which we can govern the church and what can be done. So to your point, I do believe that there is a kind of plan to make the Civil Rights Act, the new constitution, and that kind of put us in a slippery slope in the early 1960s.
And even before that, Brown versus Board of Education, it was Eisenhower, a Republican, that sent federal troops into Little Rock, Arkansas to make sure the nine went to school that day. Arkansas yes. Governor Fabus, a yes. Democrat, blocked them with the National Guard.
Yes, this is true. They kept trying to keep those students from, you know, going to school and integrating. And today we see that in reverse, you know, not to the extent where Blacks were denied access to the school system, but we do see reverse racism. In chapter 2 of my new book, I talk about the fact that there's nothing new under the sun. And I talk about that story there explicitly, where we saw the nine students in Arkansas, they were denied access to the public school system. And today, whites are being demonized in the public school system for their whiteness. You know, there are many people who say that critical race theory is only taught in law school. That is not true. Whether you call it critical race theory or cultural responsive teaching, we are seeing critical race theory being taught. Whites are being told that they should be demonized for their whiteness. Blacks are being told that they are inferior and or victims. And as a father of three beautiful Black children, married to a beautiful Black woman, I don't teach my family, the Amanchukwu family, that we are inferior to anyone and we're definitely no one's victim. I'm not a victim. I'm victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so as we Amen. See these things take place, we are witnessing cultural Marxism. We must call this evil what it is. It's intentional. It's an encroachment. It's government overreach. We've moved far away from teaching our students in the public school system, and we're now indoctrinating them, and it needs to stop.
What it really was LBJ was who infamously said, I will have those Blacks voting Democrat for the next 200 years by signing the Civil Rights Act. He was a racist. He voted against every single civil rights bill put before him. And the left's overreaction to Nixon's Southern strategy, which they said was racist, but somehow, I don't know, but he won 36% of the Black vote in 1968. That gave him the largest landslide since Washington's reelection. So it seems to me like it's more like the Democratic pandering than it is actual rights for the civil society.
You're right about that. Since 1968, no Republican president has received more than 13% of the Black vote. And what have Blacks gained as a result of being enslaved to the left? You know, you have President Joe Biden who comes out and says that if you're confused on who you're going to vote for, then you're not Black. And so today, if you're a Black man or a Black woman and you want to support school choice, you're not Black because you want to support school choice. If you're a Black today and you don't want to support transgenderism and you want to support, you know, lowering taxes and conservative principles, you are now castigated for being Black. Why are Blacks, you know, I'm asked this question all the time as a Black man, and maybe I should ask you, why are Blacks voting for Democrats? The million-dollar question that I'm hit with all the time as a Black man is, Pastor John, can you tell me why Blacks are beholden to the Democratic Party. Today, I want to know from you, sir, why Blacks voted for the Democratic Party.
I think history repeats itself, and Nancy's political miscalculation and overreach or overreaction to Trump unleashed BLM and Antifa, right?
Yeah.
He was on his way to 20% maybe or more Black vote. So they freaked out and they pandered to an extreme, and it cost us billions in mob riots in big cities. And unfortunately, you asked me, so I'll tell you, just like George Bush Jr. with Karl Rove and the strategy for evangelical Christians, they will disappoint them like George Bush did, and they will lose them very soon. So my theory is that taking advantage of the Black vote is not going to work for them.
I agree with that. And it's unraveling before their eyes. You know, the new documentary just came out about BLM, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, by Candace Owens. And it accurately depicts the financial statements of BLM, and how so much money went to special interest groups. In particular, nearly $2 to $6 million or more went to organizations that were pushing transgenderism. You know, we didn't see much of that money go to the Boys and Girls Club. I doubt much of that money went to the NAACP.
Or pastors like you.
Or pastors like me, or to, watch this, end abortion, or to pregnancy resource centers. Maybe no money towards after school programs. It was all used to pay off people who were pushing this big lie. You know,
and Satan's, the last time this happened, oh, sorry, go ahead, please.
No, you finish.
Well, I was going to say Detroit was supposed to be the grand New Deal experiment of LBJ's, but it did not work out too well, did it? Compared to, say, your hometown, North Carolina, that was 50% majority Black, which thrived after the Civil War with capitalism and entrepreneurship. Now the Green New Deal is worse. Cities need energy. So please, you're about to say where Satan gets involved.
Yes, Satan is in this. He's been in this from the beginning. Satan's trigger is the image of God. What ruffles his feathers, what makes him the most angry, is the image of God. And there are three areas where he's trying to destroy the image of God, and that's through the area of race, through the area of gender, and through abortion. If he can convince Blacks to hate whites and whites to hate Blacks, then he will overthrow the image of God and cause us to misappropriate the image of God and or the wonderful tapestry of colors that God made us in. Secondly, he will seek to destroy the image of God through gender. You know, this sexualization that's taken place in the culture, where we're even grooming children in the public school system and providing pornographic material in books, and we're allowing drag queens. I'm talking about 6'5", 240-pound men. We're letting them put on stiletto pumps and fishnet stockings and makeup, and we're allowing them to come in there and parade and dance in front of children and read books. This is awful. But transgenderism and homosexuality attacks the image of God because it keeps one from procreating. Man, you can put 10 men or 10 women in one room. If you put 10 men in one room, at the end of the day, you're only going to get a hot, funky, sweaty mess. But there's going to be no procreating taking place. You could put 10 women in one room. There'll be a lot of licking and lapping going on, there is no seed that will be deposited in that room. It's only when you do it God's way. And it's amazing why, when I make it plain like this, you know, it's rather vivid, but people are able to see clearly that the ideology of bringing two of its own kind, i.e. males together and or females together, it's a mess. But it also destroys the image of God. And Satan is using whatever he can through grooming to get this ideology into the hearts of children at an early age so that they can propagate this same death style. Not lifestyle, but death style. Thirdly, abortion. It's simple. The enemy wants to kill as many babies as possible. Herod tried to kill Jesus. Pharaoh tried to kill the Hebrew boys. The god Molech was used as parents sent their children down a trench that was set on fire in order to garner favor from a statue. Many babies were destroyed. And today, if the enemy can't kill a child in the womb, he'll seek to kill them mentally in the public classroom.
Certainly has a better chance of killing them when they haven't heard the word yet than after. So yes, absolutely. Truly. So let me ask you this. Okay, just to digress a little bit. Thank you for that. That was amazing. In 1953, a decade before the Civil Rights Act, Billy Graham, right here in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where I am, close to where I am actually, broke the color barrier, in my opinion, by letting blacks and whites sit together to hear the gospel. Frederick Douglass went from slave to political leader. Your book, Erased, everyone run out and get it, contrasts those leaders to the 70s Black Panthers, Jesse Jackson, and Al Sharpton of today, BLM leaders, self-proclaimed trained Marxist, their words, of today having Stockholm syndrome is what you use, or at least their followers. That is the care or like for your captors, with the captors being the Democratic Party. If I voted Dem, A, it's a secret ballot, but I don't think people would really care. But if a Dem strays from the reservation, they are excommunicated in the worst way, like Kanye West or you mentioned Candace Owens. What are your thoughts on Billy Graham versus Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton as leaders of the Black community?
Well, Jesse Jackson, there was a time where he called abortion Black genocide. But when it came time for him to run for the office of the presidency, he did an about face and he sold his community out, and he would no longer call it Black genocide. That did great damage to the Black community. You know, during the time frame where Reverend Billy Graham spoke up and said something about the racial tensions in America and the disunity, I would say this, that there were few white preachers who would dare speak up, which is why it was so significant for Reverend Billy Graham to do so and to point out the evil of racism. I say this all the time, and I'll say it again, that racism is not a color or a skin tone. Racism is sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I think that we should preach against true racism. There are many people who accost me and tell me that since I fight and speak against critical race theory, that I must think that racism is not real. And that's not true. Racism is real, but we can't label all whites as inherently racist because of the actions of individual people. We can't paint with a broad brush and label the entire group as racist because racism is a choice. In my book, I also talk about the role of the Black minister and also the role of the white minister. And I believe that both have a critical role in mitigating, not ending, but mitigating racism. And I say mitigating because racism will not be done away with until Jesus Christ returns. As long as flawed man lives upon the earth, the propensity and the desire for one to fall into the trap and the sin of racism, that will be accessible. But go ahead.
Oh, I enjoyed your book more than I'd say Ibram X. Kendi, who wrote a book, How to Be an Anti-Racist, or Patrice Cullors, the now very rich BLM founder, and Nicole Hannah-Jones at the New York Times Racist 1619 Project, making millions and giving BLM a bad name by large mansions. 1619 and Kennedy may be worse for America than Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, huh?
True. I agree with that.
And removal of Civil War monuments, including Abe Lincoln, doesn't make any sense. 360,000 Union lives lost to free slaves, and Britain didn't free colonial slaves for 50 more years. So we are a better society than that, but yet they're using this for a political well, money raising opportunity, of course, but a really divisive political strategy. And it's cynical, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. You know, when you look at the plan of BLM, and even if when you went to their website during 2020, before, you know, the truth was released on what they were doing, you saw nothing on their website about the betterment of the family. Matter of fact, they wanted to destroy the nuclear family. They also wanted to destroy the patriarchy. You saw nothing on their website about, you know, protecting the Black lives in the womb of Black mothers. 50% of Black deaths end in abortion. The leading cause of death in this country is not tragic accidents, it's not heart disease, it's not the coronavirus, it's not cancer, it's abortion. So if Black lives matter and we want to save as many babies as possible, wouldn't you use your funds and your platform to speak against the racist institution of Planned Parenthood?
I would. I do. You know, America's supposed to be a melting pot, right? And now we see segregated graduations and people of color only areas on campuses. It seems like it's devolving into self-imposed segregation instead of what used to be called Jim Crow, with separate bathrooms and drinking fountains that were mandated from above. This is self-imposed. What's that all about?
Well, you know, that's a great point. A survey of 173 colleges and universities found that 42% offer segregated residences, 46% offer segregated orientation programs, 72% host segregated graduation ceremonies. An entire generation is being taught through word and example that the most important thing about another person is their race and who they desire to sleep with. We are going backwards. We're not moving forward, but we're going backwards. The whole separate but equal notion has crept back into America. And this is a tool. It's all propaganda. We must know that this is cultural Marxism. Before there was a such thing called critical race theory, there was critical theory, which started in the Frankfurt School of Germany. And for most people who know anything about the Frankfurt School of Germany, they know that it was ideologies in Germany that led to the killing of 6 million innocent Jews. But Karl Marx pushed the ideology of critical theory along with Antonio Gramsci. And the intent was to overthrow power structures. So the seed that spawned critical race theory is critical theory. And critical race theory is fruit from a poisonous tree, the tree being critical theory. But on the vine of that tree is also intersectionality, hegemonic power, the patriarchy, gender theory, queer theory. These are all offshoots of critical theory. And the reality is, if the tree is corrupt, then the vine will be corrupt as well. And these ideologies have no place in the public school system. And I want to say to pastors and Christian leaders who will listen to this podcast that God never gave us the framework of critical race theory on how we should mete out racial reconciliation. I believe that the gospel is the quintessential framework for biblical justice. Biblical justice oozes from the scriptures, not from critical race theory. If we would just simply love our neighbors as ourselves, that's one of the great commandments. If we would do that, we wouldn't need critical race theory. At the end of the day, secular and worldly terms are not going to answer man's greatest problem, which is an evil heart and a demonic soul.
Man, Holy Spirit is not black or white, right? I mean, it is the spirit of all mankind, all womankind. I've always wanted to know. So Martin Luther King Jr., a Republican, by the way, versus, say, Malcolm X. It seems like X may have won over the BLM crowd by any means necessary, violent philosophy versus MLK, I think, civility. Do I have that about right or wrong?
Yeah, that he was more aggressive in his approach. And I would say that some of the behaviors of BLM are a kind of Malcolm X-esque, you know what I mean? They resemble him in some ways. However, Malcolm X always pointed out the treacherous and demonic souls that stemmed from many white liberals. He was vehemently against white liberal policy. So we can't fully put BLM in that box.
The other night, Herschel Walker and Pastor Warnock got into it in a debate. And when asked, Warnock gave a strong defense of abortion access, arguing that a patient's room is too narrow and small for a woman, her doctor, and the U.S. government. And Walker said he didn't mention there's a baby in that room as well. And right. that asking the taxpayers to pay for it brings government back into the room. That's brilliant. You agree with that?
Yes, I do agree with that. Raphael Warnock is a liar. He's a heretic. Okay.
Yeah.
He's what we would call a prophet who has blood on his hands. God gave a decree to Ezekiel and told him that if you don't speak the word and tell people what I tell you to say, then blood will be on your hands. Raphael Warnock has blood on his hands. There's no such thing. I don't mince words when I say this, but there is no such thing as a pro-choice Christian or a pro-choice pastor. It's either you are for the faith and for what God has said, or you are a coward, or you mimic Satan, who was a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. And so Raphael Warnock has done a major disservice to Black America. I hope Herschel Walker wins. He has some challenges of his own, but I do hope that he's able to thwart Raphael Warnock, because we don't need his kind of leadership representing the Black church. Consider this: Raphael Warnock pastored the same church that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. used to pastor.
Right.
You know, and for him to go as far left as he has gone, and he's very articulate. But, you know, you can be articulate and lie at the same time. We saw that through Barack Obama.
And it ties into Reverend Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton, right? I mean, these guys are what you just said as well, only they've been doing it a lot longer. It seems to me Democrats are on the wrong side of history here. I mean, I've heard it called the toxic trio: anti-police rhetoric, which assassinations, lax prosecutors, Soros-funded Kim Fox, for example, and defund the police. FBI crime stats, homicides increased in 2021 after a record 2020. Rapes up, vehicle theft up 20%, murder up 40%, most since tracking began. ABC News poll, 69% named crime important more than abortion, immigration, or climate. They favor Republicans by 14 points to handle crime. So it doesn't seem like Nancy's strategy is working so well. And certainly hurting the inner cities the worst.
By all means, it is. But, you know, people who are in the inner city, according to the left, they are disposable, right? They really don't matter. They're not significant. In the words of Hillary Clinton, you know, those who are economically disadvantaged are professional never-do-wells. And so why should we care about them anyway, you know? And so these are ideologies and points, you know, that are crippling to the upward mobility of a healthy society. God's desire is for human flourishing, but we can't flourish under lawlessness. And you also saw during the summer of 2020 where many people came out and said, let's defund the police. Well, how did that work out? You know, and instead...
No. Defund the police. You know, 1993, Rodney King, LA riots burned and looted poor neighborhoods, causing many businesses there to never return. That hurt themselves. Summer of 2020, mayor of Seattle at the time called it the summer of love amongst murder and rape and millions of dollars of damage. I know the property manager of a downtown building where their tenants were like prisoners for days and couldn't safely leave the building amongst the chaos. But the city council member that led them used her key to stage a sit-in at City Hall. So she's in the temple. She survived a recall. So the chaos continues, led from the top. The police department is down 50%. They can't chase criminals even during a crime. The legislature decriminalized fentanyl and meth, which is killing more people than anything else except for abortion. You're absolutely right. And they are now pushing a trans bill of rights. With this resolution, we salute the resilience and courage of trans people across our country and outline a clear vision of what we must do in Congress in order to allow trans people to lead full, happy lives with the basic freedoms to housing, physical and mental health care, and employment without discrimination or a risk to their lives. Rep. Pramila Jayapal, Democrat of Washington, head of the far-left Progressive Caucus, said, I only quote that to say the Civil Rights Act has now become a Trans Bill of Rights Act that is not going to have the consequences that they think it will. There will be unintended consequences, and it's going to hurt the people. Just out of curiosity, how do you think the Black community or Black voters feel about a potential national trans bill of rights under the guise of civil rights?
Well, you know, most Blacks are truly conservative. They're probably one of the most conservative blocks out there, but it just doesn't show up in the voting booth. If you can figure that saga out for me, it would be quite helpful. I don't know why it doesn't convert to votes, but most Blacks are truly conservative in their viewpoints. When you consider the NAACP and what they did several years ago as a means of bringing in financial support, you know, when you start selling lifetime memberships, that signifies that you're getting ready to go under. And that was the case for the NAACP. They had to find a way to get out of the red, okay? And what they did was they brought on the LGBTQ initiative. This was done by Ben Jealous. He took on that issue, and overnight they went from being in the bright red to the jet black. They got all the funding that they needed. Now today, we have turned over, with the support of the NAACP, the true civil rights movement. And this is why perverts, people who choose demonic behavior, you know, I didn't choose to be Black. You didn't choose your nationality or color, but a person chooses perversion. Now you see in the homosexual multicolored flag, you know, they have so many, okay, there's at least 25 probably different flags that they have, over 72 different pronouns. I mean, you can't keep up with this demonic behavior that's
going on. It's an identity crisis.
It's an identity crisis, and it keeps evolving, all right? I mean, day by day, you know? And so you're at the point now where you see a Black and a brown stripe in their rainbow, okay? The Black and brown stripe is for Black and brown people. So Blacks, after a true struggle through the Jim Crow era, our struggle is being put on the same plane as a person who has a lust problem for the same sex. And all of this took place with the support of the NAACP, who, I might add,
amen,
came out. Thank you, brother. Who came out after the overturning of Roe v. Wade? The NAACP came out and sided with the left. And they used fear tactics to convince Blacks to be afraid of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So the question is the NAACP still concerned about the advancement of colored people? No. And the answer is no. They are concerned about the advancement of queer people. And so the funding for the queer people is great. It's a lot of money. You know, everyone wants to virtue signal. You know, let's send in checks to support Pride Month, right? Let's fund it. Let's fund it. Big corporations, Fortune 500 companies. Let's send in millions of dollars to support perversion. But the true civil rights movements of the Black community has been passed over for a demonic lifestyle. And where are the Black leaders? Where are the Black voices? This is why my book is so significant. But it's more than a book. I am launching a movement. Erased is a movement that loves all life, race and color, and sees all mankind, born and unborn, as one blood and equally valuable. I'm the anti-BLM group, and that's I'm doing a national tour in 2023, where that's I'll wonderful. Be going to churches and conferences around the country. If you know of churches, I need to come to Tennessee. You all yes. have some great churches there. If you know of churches that want to bring me in and allow me to do my Erased book tour, I would love to do so. And I'm also calling upon sponsors who want to fund and donate towards this national Erased book tour so that we can expose the lies of the left. We are being lied to categorically in America, and Black preachers have become pawns in the hands of the Democratic Party. I'll say this as well. Blacks have become the cheap prostitutes of the Democratic Party. They screw us and barely pay us, but we keep coming back for more. Black America, it's time to wake up.
That's great. Yep. And that is in your book. I remember that. So California is now a sanctuary state for abortion. California Governor Newsom is using Bible verses in red states to advertise getting abortions in his state. The Communist Party used Bible verses to twist Jesus into a worker and money changers into capitalists, if we all know our history. Why do voters continue to put up with these things that you see in your churches?
Well, I have a letter in front of me, an open letter to Governor Gavin Newsom from the Reverend Dr. John MacArthur. And John MacArthur, yes, right. He said this. He said, "Sir, Almighty God says in his word, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Scripture also teaches that it is the chief duty of any civic leader to reward those who do well and to punish evildoers. You have not only failed in that responsibility, you routinely turn it on its head, rewarding evildoers and punishing the righteous." California is in an awful mess. You have record amounts of smash and grabs, where people are going into stores, smashing and smashing windows and grabbing merchandise and leaving out. And those people are not being criminalized. They get locked up and they're released in the matter of moments. And it has created anarchy in California. The role of civic leaders is to uphold the rule of law. But that's not happening in California. They're pushing abortion on demand. And yes, Gavin Newsom wants his state to become a sanctuary state and city. And here's the reality. God's judgment will be against California for these egregious deeds. You know, in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 1, God
and
sent
Washington.
And Washington, amen to that, and New York,
yeah,
and every blue state,
Illinois, Michigan, yeah,
terrible. Oh, don't say Illinois, my God, their mayor there, Governor Lori Lightfoot, I mean, I can't believe that so many people chose to vote her in
Chicago.
Office.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I want to be respectful of your time because I know you have a hard stop because you're going to be spreading the word later here. So I just want to get to a few points that are really on my mind. The last Republican to run for president, Republicans, McCain got 4% of the black vote, Romney 6%, and Trump looked like he was on his way to 20% plus, which would be the death for the Democratic Party, I believe. Herschel Walker is a good example of a Trump-made candidate. Isn't it true that a lot of this today is overreaction of the left to Donald Trump, who was a much-loved icon of the black community before being a Republican president? He was in the rap songs and the music videos and on TV, and a lot of them emulated, wanted him to be like him. But as he made inroads with the black vote, not just the vote, what was a locked up constituency of Democrats, Nancy freaked out and went with the radical AOC Soros Uber left agenda, like defund the police and decriminalize drugs, things that make absolutely no sense. Bail reform, jailbreak, pandering to blacks that didn't really care about, she didn't or understand. Am I wrong?
I think that you're right. President Donald Trump will go down in history as probably the most hated president in the history of American civilization. The reality is, President Trump, he didn't always make the best choices through speech, rhetoric, choices of tweets and things of that nature, but his policies were wonderful. His policies benefited blacks more than the policies of Barack Obama and any other president in the past 10 to 20 years. I would love to have President Donald Trump in office at this point. You know, everyone frowned upon the mean tweets and things of that nature. However, at the end of the day, I would rather a mean tweet versus paying, you know, 10 times the amount of money that I should at the gas pump. You know, the focus is this. There are people who still want to fight against President Trump. So they're keeping all of the disunity alive. They're trying to label him as a white supremacist. They're doing everything they can to bludgeon him before the 2024 election. This is all political propaganda. They're also trying to subpoena him now. They're trying to back him in the corner because he's dangerous. Why is he dangerous? Because Negroes, in the words of Margaret Sanger, like to vote for him. And so we can't let this venomous being out of his cage. We must keep him locked away from the public office and demonize him because he may keep, rescue Negroes from the liberal plantation. And they don't want that. So they're going to.
They weren't
everything.
Buying it, right? They weren't buying it because if he would have had a legitimate vote in 2024, he would have, or whatever it was, 2020, he would have had. He made inroads, and in your book, you make a plea for pastors exclusively to reject all this. That would be black churches and white churches. They really disappointed during the era of COVID, didn't they? With willing church closings, canceling Easter 2021, and masks and vaccine mandates, along with their pro-abortion stances. You probably saw that and were aghast that they were complying with those things.
Yes, I was. The reality is the Bible tells us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says that, and it didn't have an asterisk in that scripture either. It doesn't say, you know, we can assemble unless COVID comes or unless the bubonic plague comes.
And neither does our Constitution.
Amen to that.
Amen to that. Well, you know, the FBI obviously has been doing some outrageous things for the DOJ, like arrest pro-life pastors here in Tennessee. We know how they treated MLK. Have you been harassed for preaching outside of abortion clinics, trying to save lives?
Yes, I've been harassed several times by the left. There are political organizations who come out to the abortion clinic that I frequent, and they call the cops. They find ways to make up lies on us. We've even had some of them use umbrellas and poke sharp objects into the breast of women who are on our side. We even had one evil lady take her rear end and begin to shake it on one of the preachers who were outside, and he almost collapsed. You know, this woman is probably 400 pounds. She's a nasty lady. She's the last person that you want dancing on you. But she just found a way to just try to, you know, harass us and taunt us. But here's the reality. We are resolute. We know that we're fighting against Satan. We see Satan in the book of Genesis as a serpent. We see him as a dragon in the book of Revelations. But the reality is this. He was hurled down. In other words, he was body slammed. He fought against Michael and the angels, but he wasn't strong enough. The power rests in the hands of the church. And it's time for the church to be the church. In closing, I'll say this. There was a famous pastor by the name of, not Martin Luther, but Martin Niemöller. Yes, a famous pastor by the name of Martin Niemöller, who led his congregation during the Holocaust. He was a Lutheran pastor. He said this. He said, when they came for the communists, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. He said, when they came for the socialists, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a socialist. He said, when they came for the Jew, I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. He said, and then ultimately they came for me and there was no one left to speak up for me. Who is going to speak up for the least of these? Luke 17:2 says, it is better for a man to have a millstone tied around his neck and to be thrown into the sea than for us to damage a child. We need to speak up for our children.
Absolutely. Amen. And before I let you go, where can people go to find out more about you, your church, your mission, your social media? Let everyone know where they can find you.
You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at RevWu, R-E-V-W-U, Truth. RevWu Truth on Instagram and on Twitter. Follow me there. You can find me also at Erased, E-R-A-C-E-D, book.com, and at johnamanchukwu.com. And if you want to purchase a copy of my new book, just go to Amazon to make your purchase there.
Great. And we'll put that on our show notes too. Well, we pray for you and your mission to bring light to the darkness. And as Proverbs 13:20 advises, walk with the wise and become wise. And you are like Solomon, very wise. So thank you for coming on with us today, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank you so much. God bless you, my friend.
This pawn shop ticket for this week's rent. Well, last week's check is already spent.
Welcome to the Steve and Steve segment of our show, where we cover what we just heard and anything else on my always busy mind. Steve, sometimes we have entertainers and sometimes we have religious leaders on. What did you think of Pastor John?
Well, you know, after the show was over, John had said, you know, we need to make that a three-way next time we do an interview with him. And so that means because I came in a couple times and just said some amens, but Steve, he's right there. I'm 100% with what that guy's doing. I couldn't be more agreed on of all your guests, he's one of the best that I just say heart to heart right there.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I mean, and he's so right. You know, we talked about the Trump making inroads into the black voter versus, say, McCain or a Romney in this last two decades. And it's a shame that somewhere in the neighborhood of 19 million black children will never be born because of abortion. And something like 50 million Christians in America aren't even registered to vote. I found this problem in Washington in a big way, less so here in Tennessee, but they don't participate in the system. And I think that whole letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a pastor I don't know. It made them all believe that church and state was illegal or something like that, but it's not true. And here in Tennessee, there's four constitutional amendments being proposed, one of which will allow pastors and religious laymen to enter into the public square. It's hard to believe that it was kind of not a thing until maybe in November. I know, hard to believe.
Wow.
But anyway, we got a lot to talk about. So just want to read a couple of headlines here for our next topic. Ex-teacher charged with sex crimes over video of students on TikTok. A former teacher in Tennessee faces 24 sex crime charges, including rape, after she allegedly posted inappropriate videos of her students on TikTok. Taylor Cruz, 23, was a first-year fifth-grade teacher at John Coleman Elementary School in Smyrna, Tennessee, Rutherford County School spokesperson James Evans told Newsweek. As a result of law enforcement investigation, she was suspended without pay on May 2nd and submitted her resignation on May 22. Well, that's good. Probably get a new teaching job somewhere else, but play that clip for me, would you?
Analysis by Fox News Digital finds nearly 270 public educators were arrested on child sex-related crimes in the U.S. in the first 9 months of this year. At least 199 of the arrests, or 74%, involved alleged crimes against students. Analysis by Fox News Digital finds nearly 200...
We're replaying that. So, three separate Oregon teachers arrested for sex crimes with minors in just one day. A string of Oregon teacher crimes ended with police arresting three teachers for separate sex crimes across the states. According to lawfirms.com's teachers sex offender list, 25 female teachers and student sex crime scandals. We have compiled a teacher sex offender list of female teachers who slept with students and charged with having an inappropriate teacher and student relationship. Teachers flirting with students and engaging in sexual activity seems to be surfacing more often. Even more disturbing, these female teachers, sex offenders, have even gained pop culture status through intense media scrutiny regarding their arrests and sex crime trials, such as Deborah Beasley LaFave was a 23-year-old teacher at Anglo El Greco Middle School in Temple Terrace, Florida. She was arrested for having multiple sex encounters with a 14-year-old student throughout various locations in the school, allegedly. Lisa Lavoie was a 24-year-old teacher, allegedly statutory rape and enticement of a minor regarding a 15-year-old male student. In Florida, a first-grade teacher lost her job after campus officials said they found her drunk in class. A Michigan high school automotive teacher was charged with criminal sexual conduct after allegedly having sex with a teenager on school grounds. I could go on. Steve, what in the hell is going on in the hiring practices of our schools?
Well, actually, this is a very long, long, long story. Probably about 7 years ago, I was reviewing, or 5 years ago, I was reviewing something very similar to this, and I came across a website dedicated to female teachers who were sexing up their student body. And the point is that there is a huge problem within this demographic. We always hear about the men teachers, but the fact is I think there's probably far more women teachers that are doing this. And the explanation I can come up with is these are very, very immature girls who are still living out their teen life, and they are living it out with teen boys. They've not matured. They're, 21, 22, 23, and they still think they're 18. And it's sick. And yet, let's remember to those famous that famous song from Van Halen, Hot for Teacher.
I'd like to blame Van Halen, but I think it's somebody else. Also in Newsweek, a headline, when we fail to teach our kids the basics about civics, we risk losing our democracy. An opinion by Randy Weingarten, President, American Federation of Teachers, on October 4th, 2022. If we don't teach the historical context of these important struggles, our younger generation will lack the fundamental knowledge of how these rights were won. They won't know the conflict, the struggle, who fought for what rights, what that means, and why it matters. Understanding how we gain power and how you lose it and when to sound the alarm, all of this is vital for students' understanding and willingness to take their rightful place as engaged, informed citizens in American democracy. So they, as voters, will decide who represents them instead of politicians deciding who votes and who wins. Without critical thinkers, democracy doesn't stand a chance. Maybe, just maybe, producer Steve, Randy and her NEA is the disease and not the cure. Stay tuned for my thought of the week.
I don't understand.
Welcome to our Thought of the Week. But before I share, I want to remind everyone to subscribe to Mill Creek View Podcast. Just go to Spotify, Amazon Music, or Deezer and check out some of our older shows. We've had some amazing ones lately. Nonviolence leads to the highest ethics, which is the goal of all evolution. Until we stop harming all other living beings, we are still savages. Thomas A. Edison. Here's another one. The most necessary task of civilization is to teach people how to think. It should be the primary purpose of our public schools. The mind of a child is naturally active. It develops through exercise. Give a child plenty of exercise for body and brain. The trouble with our way of educating is that it does not give elasticity to the mind. It casts the brain into a mold. It insists that the child must accept. It does not encourage original thought or reasoning, and it lays more stress on memory than observation. Edison was taught reading, writing, and arithmetic by his mother, who used to be a school teacher. He attended school for only a few months, who learned most things by reading on his own. As a child, he became fascinated with technology and spent hours working on experiments at home.
Amen.
Well, yeah, well, that's it for this episode. I want to thank our guest, Pastor John Amanchukwu Sr., and thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to the Mill Creek View podcast. Until our next show, this is Steve Abramowitz, Managing Director of Mill Creek Financial Partners, signing off. I'll be back again tomorrow. Wow, 3 in 1 week. All of you true believers, don't miss it. And as always, peace in our time.
Children and the pumpkins at the county fair. They were looking for America behind every turn, flying the very colors that so many love to burn. I'll cruise the countryside with my dad and my brother. Row after row of cotton and corn, moving through this place just like